Oakland Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines in order. Do not hang up, starting with Andy of Beaver Dam. Thank you for calling, Andy of Beaver Dam. What's on your mind today?
Matt, Mitch McConnell, you know, he was, I forget the name of the Chief Justice, Supreme Court nominee that, you know, got knocked out back in the 90s. And Mitch, at that time, decided that's it. We're going to do everything we can to put through conservative Supreme Court justices and whatever. And, of course, what's resulted, you can see today with what happened in this session of the Supreme Court. And they have a Republican or a Democratic governor in Kentucky, and yet this guy continues to get reelected in Kentucky. And that's kind of a mystery to me. I don't know. But what are you watching in the history of Mitch? You know, what are your thoughts on his durability? You know, he's 80 years old and so forth. But, you know, I don't know what he has. You know, he must have a hell of a big war chest.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. I'm going to comment and then go right to the line. So don't hang up anybody. But the two quick things. One is the justice you may be talking about may have been Robert Bork, like in the late 80s. But Robert Bork was a weird guy, and he wanted to overturn things like the Supreme Court opinion that permitted that stopped states from forbidding birth control. The guy was a nut, okay, and he got stopped. Moscow Mitch started out as a liberal. He was pro-civil rights in the early 80s in the Congress. And then he realized the only way he could stay in is as a conservative. I don't know how he keeps getting elected down there. You know, he has a lot of money. But the other thing about him, and I'm not sure of his exact age, but whatever it is, he's no spring chicken. This guy is, you know, this guy eats his dessert first, okay? He does not buy green bananas, this guy. So who knows when he's going to get out of there. The problem is the Republican Party is split between the Trump cult and a couple of people who think they're moderates. And the moderates are losing. So, listen, I don't have an awful lot of confidence in the Republican Party, but thanks for calling. Next is Robert of West Allis. Thanks for calling, Robert. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Matt. What's on my mind is the lack of prosecution from Merrick Garland and, you know, and Christopher Wray. Just, they haven't been taking things seriously enough. You know, it's been over 500 days. You know, we see the games that Steve Bannon is playing, you know, with contempt of Congress and subpoenas. And, you know, I really think they're emboldened and they think they can get away with it because they really don't see much being done, you know, to Trump and his inner circle. You know, yesterday, it was really interesting. I was listening to someone, or it was the day before, and they were drawing a contrast between Adolf Hitler and what's happened in the United States. And, you know, I hate making comparisons like that because there aren't many people that are as bad as Hitler. But if you go back to 1923... With the beer push riots, you know, when they basically tried to get three people that ran Bavaria to overthrow the government. You know, at that time, he was sentenced to 5 years. I think Hitler served 18 months. He used the trial to grandstand his ideas, and then while he was in jail, he wrote the book. But, I mean, is that we're going to end up with? I mean, at that time in the Weimar Republic there, you know, people, you had socialists and you had Nazis and you had other groups basically fighting. In.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. You're fading a little bit. I want to respond. That's an important comment you're making.
Yeah, basically what I'm saying is, you know, if they don't prosecute these guys and take things seriously, you know, are we setting ourselves up for another coup attempt? Or violence in the street between people with different political ideologies.
Right.
That was my comment. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. No, I agree that Merrick Garland, I've been somewhat disappointed, although there's some indication now he's stepping up his game. There's a debate going on, not only in the Democratic Party, but in moderate Republicans. Is it worse for the country if Trump is criminally charged, or is it worse if he isn't? If he's not criminally charged, people think they can get away with this stuff. But if he is, he doesn't have a majority, but he probably has a 30% hardcore. And do they get violent and all that? It's going to take some real leadership. And I come down that he should be prosecuted. Because if you do not prosecute somebody who says, I'm going to lead an armed mob to the Capitol, they're not here to harm me, and then he extorts Raffensperger in Atlanta, and then he says, we're going to say there was fraud, and the gerrymandered Voss-type state legislators will pick the president. That could happen again. That could happen again. And I come down, you got to prosecute that. Thanks an awful lot for calling. I'm Robert Joe, my friend. Joe of Madison, thanks for calling. You're next. What's on your mind today, Joe?
I'm wondering if you can talk a bit more, particularly because of the attention that you've given this, the issue of this upcoming case before the Supreme Court that looks at whether state legislatures can basically vote in electors rather than the citizens of a state voting for the electors. I was looking at a Twitter thread by a man named David Pepper who writes about the problems with the state government and how that relates to citizens actually getting their right to vote guaranteed. And he spoke of, and I'm sorry that I don't know this more accurately, and I'm wondering if you can expand on this, what he describes as the guarantee clause within our national constitution. And he said it's the language of guarantee is the strongest word that you can use, and that the founders chose that word for a meaning, because of the meaning that it has. And the idea being that they guarantee that there is a Republican form of government. And in their mind, that Republican form of government means the citizens are in control, not a monarchy, which is what they've just been through, but the citizens are in control. And so he is basically talking about the fact that as we speak of an independent state legislature that decides on its own rather than the people, that it would be extremely at complete odds with what the founding fathers were attempting to create with their new government that they were trying to put into place. I'm wondering if you could talk about this a little bit, Matt, and particularly because of this upcoming court case and because of the fact that this is being touted that the state legislators should decide elections. Can you talk about that a bit? And I'll just take your response off air. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joe. You've raised some profound and very deep constitutional and historical questions, and I do want to hit that right now. Very, very important. First of all, on the guarantee clause, what you're saying is it's true. The Constitution and the original Declaration of Independence, you can read it that way too, guarantees a Republican form of government. Now, what does Republican mean? It does not mean Republican Party or Democratic Party, because in a republic, you have democratic elections. That's the reason the two parties took these words. But what is a Republican form of government? In the 1770s, much of Europe was ruled by kings, by monarchies. And in the Enlightenment, and it goes back to Rousseau and Voltaire, it goes back to Locke, it goes back to, Thomas Jefferson was a son of the Enlightenment, the French Revolution. Ours was the starter, the kickstart. What ours said was, we're going to have a republic. People, the rights lie in the people, not a monarch. Not a monarch appointed by God, had divine rights, the people. And we wrote a constitution that is probably the most brilliant political document ever in history. And it provided for a president, it provided for a senate, it provided for a house of representatives, and it all comes from the people. The two provisions that you're referring to in the Constitution that have been misinterpreted by the Republicans or used by them, one of them is at issue in the North Carolina case this fall. One says that the presidential electors shall be selected, you know, in a manner, you know, as set out by the state legislatures. What that meant was, in 1788, let me be blunt, George Washington had just won the Revolutionary War. He was the biggest guy in the country. He was the 800-pound gorilla. Everybody wanted him. So, but we started with presidential elections in the 19th century. What this Supreme Court seems to want to do is go back in time and say that 200 years of presidential elections doesn't count. And legislatures can do it, but they weren't gerrymandered back then. They didn't know how to gerrymander. Now you'd have gerrymandered legislatures picking them. So that's number one. Joe, I have to go to a break right now. I'm going to hit the rest of that plus your second point after the break. Thanks for calling in. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.